Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Thanks, Mac. Mac has just whispered into my ear. I've got till 12 o'clock, so very thankful for that. I have a lot of stuff to get through, but it's always such a wonderful privilege to be here and to be able to minister in Stellenbosch. I bring you greetings from the lovely sleeping hollow of Somerset West, just around the corner. And we're so thankful for this congregation. We're so thankful for Stellenbosch. For many years, Somerset West was a part of this congregation. And then you guys decided to release us to plant the church over there in Somerset West. And we're so thankful for our Jerusalem, so to speak, having a place like Stellenbosch that we can come home to and a place that we can look up to and a place that we can also just have such gratitude in our hearts towards the role that Stellenbosch, Shofar Stellenbosch, is fulfilling in the wider Shofar movement. So I want to say to you, we are praying for you, for this congregation. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for deciding to be faithful to the Lord and for serving God. And thank you for supporting the skate park as well. We've got the I2B Inspired to Become skate park in Somerset West. And as many of you guys know, it burned down, a big portion of it burned down a while ago. So thank you for buying an extra cup of coffee and for just being such a blessing to us. Towards the end of last year, I received this email just on my way to holiday, and I was already beginning to switch off a little bit. So I was sort of thinking, okay, I'm going to go on holiday and I'm going to switch off from all work-related stuff. And then this email came through about someone who actually read one of our newsletters. And in this newsletter, we had spoken about Kipwe Kids. And Kipwe Kids is a dream which God gave Pastor Fred many years ago, about 10 years or so ago, just when I came to work at the church full-time. And Kipwe Kids has as its dream to play a very significant role in looking after the orphans in our nation. As many of you, I'm sure, know, we've got about almost 4 million orphans in our nation, which is a lot. We've got about 150,000 childhood-headed families, which is a lot. And we've got a lot of social problems that come from the fact that we have a generation that has grown up fatherless. We have a generation that has grown up without knowing the love and the care and the support of a family. And in Pastor Fred's heart many years ago was this dream that the Lord was going to use us as a church to look after those orphans, to look at them not as orphans and not as people who are without hope, but to look at them the way that God sees them, as people who can be history makers, people who can change the course of the future of this nation of ours. And it was a tremendous journey to be a part of that. We went through some challenging times as well. And I remember at one stage, some of the funding had dried up. And Pastor Fred said, look guys, now it's time for us to go to the different congregations and to ask them to contribute towards the upkeep of these homes and supporting these homes. And I remember so clearly that many of the churches right throughout our movement, they had building funds that they have been saving for quite a while. And many of those guys emptied out those building funds so that we could keep the kids alive. And I'm so thankful for that legacy. I'm so thankful that through the years we were able to maintain and we were able to just remain faithful to what the Lord has called us to do. And so we wrote a little bit about that in our newsletter towards the end of last year. And then someone from this congregation, and I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't want to be known, he sent a mail and he said that he knows of this conference that is taking place in Chiang Mai in Thailand that deals with orphan care. And a whole bunch of different orphan organizations are coming together, and he would like to sponsor one of the Kipwe directors to go and just to go and visit that conference. And being there, I was just overwhelmed by what God is doing internationally, what His church is doing, how God is positioning His church strategically to make a difference there where it matters the most. And I was thinking, I wish each and every Shofar congregation could be there. I wish all of us could experience what God was doing there. And I thought, let me try and bring you a little bit of Chiang Mai, Thailand back. Let me try and bring a little bit of the conference back to you and try and relay some of the heart of what the Lord has done there. It's an impossible task. There's no way I can do this within 40 minutes' time. But I'm trusting the Lord that a little bit of God's heart will come across this morning and that He will stir something in our hearts concerning the role and the purpose that God has each one of us to play in looking after the people most precious to him. So let me pray for us before we continue. Father God, we thank you that we are here this morning, and we are here not by accident, God. We are here not by mistake. You have brought each one of us here specifically for this morning because you have an appointment with us. You have a date with us. You indeed have prepared a table for us. And this morning, God, we just want to come and sit at this table. And I pray, God, that as we sit and as we open our mouths, as David said, I want to open my mouth wide so that you can fill it. And we want to do that this morning, God. We want to open our heart. And I pray that you will come through your gentle Holy Spirit and you will just increase our capacity to receive from you. We know your heart is big. We know our hearts are rather small, God. But we pray for an incarnational miracle this morning. And as you were able to take the fullness of the Godhead, put him into bodily form and impregnate a young girl and cause us to touch and see and hear him in the flesh. So I pray this morning that you would come and that you would take your dream, God. And come and drop the seed into the wombs of our spirits. I pray, Lord, for fertile wombs this morning. I thank you for what is happening in the realm of the Spirit. I thank you for what you are beginning to stir in our hearts. So we give you these next few minutes and we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in our lives. God, in Jesus' name, amen. And as an introduction, I would like you guys just to play that first video clip for us. And I want you just to have a look at this because this will give you a good idea as to what the conference was about. Okay, while they're busy sorting it out, let me chat a little bit, and then you just give me a thumbs up when you're ready. So let's go to the PowerPoint. I just want to show you the first slide there, which is a perspective from the hotel where I lived in Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai is a beautiful city in Thailand and a very very religious place. And that was what struck me about the city was that. That was from my hotel where I stayed. The first evening, I stayed in another hotel all by myself in terms of there weren't any other believers around. And it was a very, very challenging environment. It was the first time I was in an environment where there were so many idols just all around me. And then the next day, I went to this other hotel and we lived there. And there were many other believers there. And it was amazing to be able to experience the change in the atmosphere where the Christians were. But what struck me about this place, wherever you would walk, you would have these shrines all along the road. And every day as we walk past these shrines, I would see there would be a little piece of watermelon or some milk or some piece of fruit that was offered at the shrine to keep this god happy. And there were literally hundreds, thousands of these things all across the city. And at the same time, Thailand was also just wrapped up in so much social ill. So much hurt, so much pain. It is in Thailand where we have the sex trade that's legalized. Some of the people working there say that they're working with third generation prostitution, where some of the girls, they are prostitutes because their moms were prostitutes and their grandmothers were prostitutes. And you sit with all of that exploitation and all of that pain in that city and in that nation, and yet at the same time, you sit with all of that religion as well. And so I realize that this is the thing about religion. Religion keeps you occupied and keeps you busy and keeps you a slave, but it has absolutely no power to transform your life. It has absolutely no power to lead you into freedom, to lead you into hope, to lead you into a place where you can rise above your circumstances. And my heart broke for those people, but at the same time, I realized as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that is a very real danger for us. That we can be happy with coming to church and singing the songs and being Christians, and yet where the rubber meets the road and where life happens, there's no connection. That the depression, the desperation, the chaos, the hopelessness, it's still all the same. And I'm not talking about bringing your desperation to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him for healing and walking a road of healing. I'm talking about the disconnect where we limit Sunday and what God is doing simply to the church building, and we never ever take it home. And so as I was walking through the streets and praying and the rest of the believers as we were praying, I realized that God, right throughout the world, right throughout his body, is beginning to stir the hearts of his people to once again come back to what scripture talks about as true religion. Pure religion. In other words, what does God look at when God were to walk into this building? If Jesus were to walk in here, And he were to rate us, we sang the song about there will be a day when Jesus will be coming back as the King of Kings. A glorious day that we can look forward to. But this is the reality that even as Jesus Christ will be coming back as the King, he would be coming back also to be asking us a few questions. That he has a heart and he has a dream for his kingdom and for his body. And he's going to come back and he's going to ask us a few questions. And I wonder if he's going to ask us how big our services were. If he was going to ask us how many songs we sang, or how loudly we sang, or how much we clapped our hands, or how many courses we attended. Or I wonder if he's going to ask us a few different questions. And in actual fact, I know that all of you know that we don't really have to wonder about that, because Scripture has made it clear as to what those questions are. In terms of Jesus' perspective, what does he rate as a successful church? In terms of Jesus' perspective, what does he need to see in order to say that, okay, now they're busy doing what I've called them to do. Now they're busy fulfilling my heart. And I want you to keep that at the back of your mind, because all of us, as we're sitting here, as I'm standing here, I'm on a journey of having my life disappearing into God's life. Amen? We're all on this journey. We don't start off having God's heart 100%. We don't start off having God's thoughts 100% being our thoughts. It is a journey of dying to our own thoughts and our own desires and our own plans, so that his plans and his desires can become more and manifest through our lives. So I believe we're ready, so let's have the drum roll in. Let's get going.
I feel towards him, and I said, oh, like older brother or uncle. I didn't want to say like my dad, because maybe it would be weird or something. So he said, if you feel like calling me dad, you can do that. I was like, I'll call you dad. So he became my dad.
First home, I really get to know God more for myself and understand him and follow him. I felt it was like a real family, like a real... I felt there was life.
So the conference was called the Forum for a World Without Orphans. And it started as a dream that a few guys had in Ukraine. And what's amazing about this conference was that it wasn't your typical international conference where you have one nation sort of saying to everybody else, come to us, we've got the answer, and you go and apply this. It was a truly international conference. The Ukrainians played a big part in organizing it, along with some guys from Britain and Africa and Asia and from America as well. And it started with this dream that these guys had, these pastors had in the Ukraine, as their cities were being bombarded and were being shot to pieces by the Russians and some other factions. They started looking after these kids, and they started taking in these kids one after the other. And so the one guy started cycling across the Soviet Union together with, he's got about 35 kids that he's looking after, that he's adopted, with some of his sons, and they've been cycling throughout the Ukraine and sharing this dream about how about if we can have a nation without orphans. And we have this dream that within our nation, every child that doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother who can look after them, will be adopted by another family, will be fostered by another family. And so the Holy Spirit started doing something, and different organizations started talking to one another, and they came up with this idea, let's bring together all the different orphan and foster care organizations in the world, and let's share with one another about what God is doing. And so what was incredible for me was just going there and experiencing the humility, experiencing the fact that so many people who were involved, they came not with an attitude of, we know best, but we are learning from one another and from God what we need to do. And so the next slide there, it says, welcome to the 2016 Global Forum. We had the conference in this wonderful hotel where they really looked after us very well. It was an amazing standard of excellence. The next slide there, you'll see that they especially made sure that we ate well. My wife told me, look after yourself, sanitize your hands all the time. When you go there, make sure that you come back healthy, because if you come back with a bug, you sleep in the garage. So I was particularly careful and so blessed with just how they took care of us, and they really looked after us very well. The guy there in the middle is a guy called Joe. He's an amazing guy from India, a tech-savvy guy. He knows more about technology than anyone else that I know, but he's incredible. And so we fellowshiped a lot around the food, which is amazing, and just around those tables, so many beautiful conversations that came to the fore. But I want to show you the five pillars of the conference. And the first one was God. And that is where we started, to say that a heart for the children of the world, the vulnerable children, the trafficked children, the children in child labor, the children living on the streets, the children being abused, being raped, being neglected. A heart for the children and a response to the plight of those children doesn't start with the children. It starts with God. It starts with understanding God's heart. Unless we truly understand how God feels about these kids, our response will simply be an emotional one. We might shed a tear here or there. We might give a bit of money here or there. But unless we understand God's heart, who God is, we will not be able to consistently and accurately reflect Him towards those around us. So that's where we started. And it was such an amazing experience to see Presbyterians and Methodists and Anglicans and Charismaniacs and Pentecostals and everybody coming together and worshiping God. And none of those differences coming to the fore. And I realized the power of the right focus. I realized that if we are able to focus on God's heart, if we are able to focus on what is really important, the peripheral things will in actual fact become simply that, peripheral. Now, some of those things are important, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have discussions around those things, but those things should not keep us from taking hands and working towards manifesting God's heart. And sometimes we're so obsessed with being right that we become stumbling blocks to somebody else seeing and experiencing the heart of God. From there, we moved into discussions around children and their needs and what happens to them when they neglect it. Scientific evidence that makes it so clear that children that grow up in homes where there aren't affection and where they aren't bonded, neurologically so much goes wrong in your brain. Such a lot of development doesn't take place in your brain because of the fact that you've never learned to bond to one particular person. And so you have creativity that's stunted. You have an inability to act rationally. And so you overreact on situations when you're an adult simply because you weren't nurtured, you weren't loved. And how many kids actually die because of a lack of physical affection? From there, we moved into the family and what God's heart is for the family. And that's why courses like Evergreen and Marriage Prep are so important, because it all starts with having healthy families. That's why for you guys who are not married yet and you're preparing your heart to get married, or those of us who are married, is to make sure we've got strong families, because it's more than just about our own kids. It's also about the kids around us that God is wanting to bring to us. We spoke about the church, and the church is the only organization that have within its ranks people who serve and people who have so many different expertise and experiences who holistically can look after these kids, who together can do this as a family and not as some project. And that is what came across over and over again, that looking after the orphans, looking after vulnerable kids, looking after the widows, that is not a project. It's not some home that we build in a distant place and from time to time we go and paint the walls. Praise God, if you are doing that, please continue doing that. But it is more than that. Looking after the widows and the orphans and the vulnerable kids, it's not a project. It is an extension of who we are as a family. And God has called us as a church to be that. And then the last one there was that it's time for churches and organizations to take hands and to partner with one another. So I've been so blessed by the amazing networks I've already picked up, and I'll share with you a little bit more about the opportunities we have to partner with other people. And so we came together on the Thursday evening, if you go to the next slide, everybody together, and we were just so excited about the excellence of this conference. There were about 500 delegates there, about 4,500 people sitting in, watching the live feed, 60 different nations represented there. It was truly excellent. It was truly done at such a high quality. And yet at the same time, in the midst of all of this excellence, there was this authenticity as well. The sensitivity to other people's needs, which was amazing. It was just so encouraging to me. One of the highlights was worshiping together. There's Mac Powell. He's the lead singer of Third Day. And again, just being there and seeing how different people worship God in different ways, and yet all of us are lost in His presence. All of us are focused on Christ. All of us are just surrendered to His love. People know that we, at one stage of our journey, we were orphans. We were spiritual orphans, and God came and He took us home. He made us sons and daughters, and that changed everything about our lives. Mac Powell himself, he's adopted 2 or 3 kids, and so it was amazing just worshiping with him. There were amazing speakers. I just want to go to the slide where you have the lady sitting with the 3 other people. And we had some fantastic interviews. What was special about this as well, it wasn't doom and gloom. It wasn't let's get together and let's talk about how terrible the world is. Let's talk about how hopeless the world is. It was just bringing hope. And I was so encouraged and left so excited about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are making a difference. In the slums of Cambodia, to the war-torn areas of Sudan, to the slums of Mexico, and up into the mountains of Nepal, there are believers there taking in kids, looking after them. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got a long way to go, but we are making a massive difference. And hearing these testimonies that the lady in black, she was left in a hospital after years of abuse, 3 or 4 years old, when one of the nurses who was working in that hospital at this stage, because of the abuse, she literally had become almost a vegetable. The doctors had given up on her. She didn't respond to any of the stimulation. And they said there's no chance that she will be able to have a normal life. And she will be bedridden for the rest of her life and probably die at an early age. And one of the nurses who was working there, her heart broke for this girl. And she took her home and nurtured her back to life. And today she's studying to be a medical doctor herself, and is married and has got her own kid. The guy there in the middle, he's from Zambia, and just an amazing story. Grew up as an orphan, and just sharing with us about how desperate he was for love, how desperate he was to know that there's a place that he can call home. How the gang lords and the warlords came for him and wanted to make him part of their groups. And how one day he went to school and decided he's going to bunk all his classes. He's going to take a rope and he's going to pull it over a tree and he's going to hang himself because he just couldn't handle just the lifestyle anymore. The desperation, the fear, the abuse he was suffering. And now at that moment, a friend of his came walking and saw him wanting to hang himself, took the rope from him and says, "You're coming home with me." And he says, going home, he sat outside his friend's house and his friend went into the house. 2 minutes later, he came back out and his friend's dad came out. And he told him, "Come inside. You never ever have to be without a family again." And he made him part of his family. Took him in. Gave him a bed. Says, "Here's the fridge. You go into this fridge and this fridge is your fridge. You don't have to ask for permission. You come in here and you take out of this whatever you need. This is yours." And wherever his friend's dad would go with him, he would introduce him to his family and to his friends and to his colleagues as, "This is my son." And he says 6 months later, this man died. But he says it was 6 months that changed his life forever. Today he's in charge of one of the largest orphan care movements in Zambia because of 6 months of one family that took him in and made a difference in his life. The guy on his right is a guy from Sri Lanka. Just a crazy story. His dad murdered his mom by throwing gasoline over and setting her alight. She didn't die immediately. She ended up in hospital. And then as the police came to her, they caught the husband as he was trying to flee. And so they came to her to tell her that at least you can die knowing that we've caught the man. And she said, "If you can at all, be merciful towards him. If you can at all, don't persecute him. Because I do not want my son to go through life harboring bitterness and unforgiveness. The two things I desire my son to know, and that is that God is a God of forgiveness, and that God is a father to the fatherless. Today, he's part of a massive movement in Sri Lanka working with the youth. And he's grown up without a dad. In actual fact, he's grown up with the knowledge that his dad murdered his mom, and yet his mom left a legacy of forgiveness in his life. And today he's making a massive difference where he is. So those were the kinds of stories we were listening to, the kinds of just encouraging messages going around that you just don't know the difference that one person can make in somebody else's life. Probably what was the highlight for me was the Sunday. The Sunday we came together, and this is after having workshops and just learning from one another and experiencing so much of God's wisdom. And Sunday we came together, and the guy said, "Look, guys, this morning we're not going to have a sermon. This morning is the most important morning for us. So we've been planning this conference for months. The Lord told us that this morning is going to be crucial because this is the morning where he wants to speak to each one of you. And we want you to forget about your organizations. We want you to forget about all your plans, all your dreams, all your budgetary constraints, all your networking. We want you to forget about all the stuff you need to do for God. And we want you simply to come and be a child in the house." And so they put out four stations. The first one there is the station which we will take part of just now, the communion station, where we just came together and they said, "Let's just get back to the place where we are sons and daughters at the foot of the cross, where we allow the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Christ to change our hearts, to give us an awareness of we were once lost, but now we are found. We were once dead, but now we are alive." And I must admit, there was probably one of the most profound moments in all of my years of being a believer, is kneeling there at those tables with family from Sri Lanka and India and Nepal and Africa and Australia and New Zealand, and all of us breaking at the foot of the cross. And I realized how far we have moved away from the cross. The further we move away from the cross, the further we move away from God's heart. The further we move away from the cross, the more chance we have of allowing differences to envelop our heart and our hearts to become hardened. So we were kneeling there, and we were breaking there. I hardly made it past that station, but there were three more. The other station that we went to was the one where they had put out just a few world maps on the ground. And there they had all the different nations, and they said, "We want you this morning to trust God. Lay your hands on the nation and trust him to fill you with his compassion for the kids of that nation." And we would spend some time there just breaking before God, just pray. And you can hardly breathe when God comes and he opens up his heart to you. When he gives you just a very small glimpse into how his heart feels towards the kids of this world. And one day I'm saying, "Jesus, I can't take this anymore." And says, "I'm only giving you a glimpse because you were never called to carry this all by yourself. I've called you, my church, to carry this burden together. But unless we are willing to come close, unless we're willing to allow the pain to touch us, we will always keep it at arm's length. It will always be the business's thing, or always be the NGO's thing, or always be the government's thing. It will never become, it's ours as a family." So we spent some time there just praying. And the next station you could go to, you'd see there's a lady in white. Just go back. The previous slide. One more. There's a lady in white that intercessors praying throughout the entire conference. And so afterwards, you could go and those intercessors would lay hands on you and have a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge for you and just pray over you. It was incredible. The one person that meant a lot for me was what they called the exchange station. And it's not a very good photograph, but it was a station where they had the cross up there, two crosses. And they said, in all of our journey, just go to the next slide. Skip one. In all of our journey, as we're walking with God and as we're opening up our hearts to his dreams, and we think about what is God wanting to dream through us, each one of us has an area in our life that the devil uses against us to disqualify us, to say to us, "You are not worthy," to say to us, "You will never go beyond that weakness. You are not worthy to be used by God. You are disqualified, or you are still struggling with this thing or that thing." Each one of us, even those of us there involved in orphan care, all of us across the board have made mistakes. can look back in our lives and can look back at our journey with kids in our lives and say, we wish we had done things differently. And they said, don't walk with that regret. Come to the cross. And so they gave you a little piece of paper and you could write that thing that the devil is using against you. A weakness, a sin, a disappointment. Write it on there. Gave you a pin and you stuck that against the cross. And someone would be there with a word for you and give you a word and say, walk away with this. It was so simple, yet it was so profound, just spending time at the cross, spending time to allow God to speak to us. And I was so encouraged by seeing the humility and seeing the hunger, seeing people's hearts just break before God. I've come across many people who work in these areas and work with kids, and there's a very real chance that your heart can become hard because of all the pain. But to be amongst people that were so soft and willing still to be so used by God and so broken before Him was amazing and really did my heart the world of good. So I'm going to play you the next clip, because as I'm sharing this with you, there are some of you that might be tempted to get into condemnation and feel I'm not doing enough, or this is beyond me, or I don't have a heart for that. And that's okay. All right, but the purpose of this is not to put you under condemnation. The purpose of this is simply to ask you to start engaging with God about what is God saying to you. Not all of us have been called to adopt kids. Not all of us have been called to foster kids. As a church, we have been called to do that. And each one of us can play a role. Each one of us can support. Each one of us can do something to adopt the families that are adopting, to look after the families that are looking after these kids. There's something you can do. And you've got to engage with God about what is that something that you can do. So this next clip, I hope, will make it a little bit clearer. Thanks.
The institution that God has set up in the world, better than any other, with the most caring and compassionate people in the world, is called the church. And that's the group that needs to be recruited first to be able to come in and help with this crisis of orphan care around the world.
We must change our mind. We must change something inside our heart. We must say, I will serve for God. I will adopt children. This is a Bible message.
There are many children homes in Kenya that bring children in from the streets and from all over. But most of them, it's like kind of they are looking for money. But we are encouraging the people in the churches to like encourage the members. If you have two children, you can take in another one into your home.
In Costa Rica, there are around 1,500 children in orphanages. And we are around 6,000 churches. If each church would be involved in helping in this. So can you imagine? Costa Rica won't have a problem with all the children because we will be part of the solution.
My job is working with churches to build families that can take care of children, that children thrive in loving Christian families, instead of surviving in orphanages.
The church here can stand out, can stand up, and can stand out to do the work of the ministry here. Not all can be able to foster, but even a church can be able to support. Let us support the families that have taken the children.
I hope church will wake up more and more in this subject. And this dream about world without orphans.
I do have deep hope that over time the church can reawaken to the beauty of what is seen when the church is caring for orphans in their distress, when the church becomes that father or mother as a community to children in various ways. Sometimes that's preserving existing families, sometimes that's fostering, sometimes it's mentoring, sometimes it's adopting, it's all those things. But when the church reawakens to that, indeed, it will be a beautiful day.
What was incredible, and I believe not coincidental, was the very same weekend that I was attending the conference, we had planned to have that workshop here in Stellenbosch. And we had planned it a long time before we heard about the conference. And so here, Elke and Annika and some of the guys were busy doing that workshop, the information workshop on fostering and adoption. I think about 40 of you guys attended that. And there I was busy with this conference, and I just realized God is busy doing something, church. He's busy doing something in worldwide in the body of Christ, and I believe he's busy doing something in our hearts as Shofar. That the dream that Pastor Fred had many years ago, that dream is still alive, and God is busy. He's busy shaping that, and he's busy molding that. And we're going to have different ways of looking after these kids. We're not going to limit God. But what is clear and what is true for us is that if we keep on limiting church simply to an event, simply to something that we do instead of something that we are, a family, we will never be able to move to the place where God can come and do what he wants to do. But I'm so encouraged by sensing what the Holy Spirit is doing in so many of your hearts, so many awesome things that he's busy doing. And I want to leave you with just one or two scriptures that I know that many of you guys are aware of. I'm almost out of time, but Psalm 68 verse 5 was the sort of the backbone of this entire conference, and for me is what has shaped my heart and has shaped my passion for kids who need someone to father them. And that is, if you were to ask God who he is, you would have many different answers to that question, and God would give you, because he's such a majestic God. You can't box him in. He's amazing. He's holy, and he's love, and he's our sanctification. He's our righteousness. But God describes himself in his word. He describes himself, and says, God, who are you? And he says in his word who he is through the prophet David. He says, I'm a father of the fatherless. That's who he is. I'm a defender of widows. I'm God in my holy habitation. God sets the solitary or the lonely in families. The Message translation says, a father of the fatherless and a judge and protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God places the solitary in families and gives the desolate a home in which to dwell. James 1:26, and it's the verse that you saw as well, says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, something for all of us to think about is how we talk, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So here's my plea to you, that from Keepaway side, we will be giving you more and more information on how you can support, and we're planning having a big bike race towards the end of the year to raise some funds, but we're moving away from just wanting your money. Okay, that's not our heart. Our heart is for your heart. That's what we're trusting God for, is that as a church family, we'll begin to open up our hearts and our eyes to the people in this congregation that are already busy fostering and adopting. Befriend them. No one couple, no one family, no one child is the same. There's some of you as young people who have time to spare, maybe on a weekend, maybe in the afternoons, where you can take a kid and coach him some tennis or some swimming. There's some of us who have skills that we can come to the office and say, I'm a plumber, or I'm a teacher, I'm an educational therapist, or I'm a psychiatrist, and I've got these skills. And instead of these families having to pay tons of money because the trauma that many of these kids have suffered causes families to spend a lot of money on therapy. It's not a cheap option. And some of you would come and say, if you ever need this skill, I'm giving it. I can't take a kid into my family, but I've got a skill, and I can use that. And I'm trusting God that you'll be able to dialogue with God and start the conversation with one another, to talk about it. How can I be part of this family that God is wanting to bring into our lives? I have a wonderful opportunity for us to show far to connect with a movement that's called the Alongsiders Movement. And this guy is working in Cambodia, and this is the last clip I want to show you. I'm trusting God that it will stir something in your heart, just about the difference that somebody else's involvement, even when you don't get to the place where you take somebody physically into your home all the time, there's so much that we can do. And this guy is excited about working with us. They don't have a presence in South Africa yet. And they're excited about coming alongside the church and equipping the church and helping the church. And I'm trusting the Lord that from this group, maybe some of you will come and say, Heinrich, I'm willing to be a part of this. I'm willing to come and say, let's make this happen in the communities where we have some influence. So the alongside us clip, please. Thank you. Jesus in the building business, he says that I'm going away so that I can build you a home. And I believe that God is wanting us to reflect his heart to build a home here on earth. I believe that God has called us to allow our hearts to be broken, to love desperately and dangerously, to walk away from our religion, to walk away from our offenses, walk away from our bitterness, to walk away from the distractions. How will you? How will I? How will we as a church one day stand before Jesus when he asks us, were you a family to those who need it? I'm thinking about the students, thinking about our campuses. And I'm thinking, out of all of those thousands of students, where are those that should have and could have come alongside them, give them hope, ground them in a family, ground them in a place to say, but there's a different way. And the desperation, there's a way out. And I believe God gives us the opportunity to make a difference, but it's a wake-up call for us as well. Say, we cannot afford to continue to have a generation that's fatherless. The result of all of that is clear. And I'm wanting to scare you, but I think all of us can see the result for not having fathers, not having mothers. So I would like you to stand. We're going to partake in the communion. So please, all of us stand. And if the ushers, if you can hand out the communion elements. And I want to pray with you, pray for myself, pray for us. I don't know if you may be a little bit uncomfortable the way that I was at different phases of the conference. I at one stage felt I certainly have no more tears left inside of me. But at the same time, I felt my heart expand with hope. Just realizing the difference that we can make. But what I did realize was it is impossible to have a heart for others to father them if we ourselves walk around not knowing that God is our Father. That I was fatherless. I was lonely. Maybe I am fatherless. Maybe I am lonely. And I don't know God as a father. I might know him in some religious way, but I don't know him as the one that fights for me. I don't know him as the one that moves heaven and earth for me. I don't know him as the one that sets me free from my fear about tomorrow and comes and fills my heart with hope. I've never experienced him celebrating me. I don't know what it means to be celebrated in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of my failures. And I want to encourage us as we're going to partake of the communion this morning, that we would trust the Holy Spirit to give us a revelation, the Father heart of God this morning. Because God's message, his Father heart, is represented in what you will hold before you now. That's his adoption certificate to you. It's an invitation to you to live not as a stranger, to live not as someone who just serves a God who doesn't care about you, but to accept this invitation to come home, to live as a son and as a daughter that you have. As Max said this morning, there's a fridge with some cake inside for you. But there are so many of us who never walk up to that fridge to open it up because we don't feel that fridge is mine. We don't feel we have access into God's provision for all of our needs. And so we put up masks and we pretend that we're okay, and we never break before people because we've never learned to break before God. Church, I believe that God wants to do something awesome, wants to do something amazing in this nation. But he can only do that through broken people. So many of us have things in our lives right now that are intimidating us. And I want you to bring that to the power of the cross this morning. So I will not allow this to keep me away from what God has for me, the purposes and the plans that he has for me. But I want you to close your eyes if you have the bread and the wine. And so I want to pray with a few people here this morning. I specifically want to pray for those of us this morning that maybe you are religious, maybe you don't have a shrine outside your home, you don't have a place you bow down to and worship some pagan god, but maybe you have other things in your life that is giving you hope. Maybe it's your money, maybe it's your sport, maybe it's your sexual addiction, maybe it's your alcohol addiction. I don't know what it is, but you've got something that is giving you comfort outside of God. You don't know him as your comforter. You don't know him as your hope. You don't know him as your life. I'm not asking you how long you've been in church. I'm asking you, do you know God as your daddy? Do you know God as the one who has laid down his life for you? So you don't have to go through a system so you can come home to his heart. So while our eyes are closed, if that is you and you just want to say this morning, Heinrich, I've got a strong suspicion in my heart. I don't know God. So Father, I've never experienced him taking me home. And this morning, I want to come and I want to stop living as a stranger. I want to accept this invitation to become his son and his daughter. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to turn away from all the things I'm holding on to. And I want to turn to him. I want to come home. If that is you, just raise your hand because I would love to pray for you. I'm not asking, are you religious? I'm not asking you, how long have you been going to church? I'm asking you, do you know God? Do you know God? If you're unsure, I want you just to raise your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You can drop it again after you've raised it. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you. You can drop it as well. Anyone else this morning say, I'm not sure whether I know God. All of this morning would be a waste if we allow you to leave here and you don't know that you are loved by God. If you don't know that he has given his life for you, so you can know that if you were to die tomorrow, you are going home to a place of celebration where there are no more tears. There's acceptance and joy. You don't know that. You're not sure. Just raise your hand because I would love to pray with you. Is anyone like that? Thank you. You can drop your hand again. Thank you, ma'am. Am I right? I see your hand. You can drop it as well. Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Thank you. You can drop it again. Maybe you've known God's heart. You've moved a long way away from that. And you too this morning, you say, I'm coming home as a prodigal son. I've walked away. I've sold my birthright for hardness of heart. I've sold my birthright for lust. I've sold my birthright for just a life outside of God. And I want to come back. You need to raise your hand as well. A few of us raising our hands. Some of you, you might know God, but you just want to recommit your life. I want to ask you, you would come with the first time believers. You would all come to the front right now. So I want to pray with you. So if that is you, if you raise your hand, don't be shy. The guy to do that conference as well. I had to get down on my knees in front of people as well. I had to say, I've got so much in my heart that I need God to come and heal and needs to come and cleanse. And if you need your heart this morning to be filled with the revelation and knowledge that God loves you, then I want you, if you've raised your hand, well, you just want to come to the front because I would love to pray with you. All of you that've raised your hands, don't be shy. Just step out from where you are. Don't care about what the people think. It's here before the cross. Coming forward doesn't save you. It simply just gives you an opportunity to activate your faith. Just to say, Jesus, I'm coming home. I'm coming back to your heart. I'm coming back to your heart. I'm coming back to your heart. If that is you, I don't know where you're going to step away from. I don't know whether you need to step away from an abortion. I don't know whether you have to step away from a rape. I don't know whether you have to step away from someone that you've hurt. I don't know whether you've stepped away from just the abuse that you have suffered and that is defining you. You need to step away from it. You need to come and walk to the cross and say, Jesus, I will not be defined by anything else except your love for me. That's all we're doing this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If I can have some facilitators, guys, if you could come as well and just come and stand next to these people. And I want to ask you, if you just want to move to my left, all of you guys standing on my right, you just want to move a little bit towards my left over here. And I know that each one of you have a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't presume to know where you are in that journey. But I do know that you are responding this morning to him. And Jesus sees that. And that is the most important thing. You're taking a step only you can take. I can't take the step for you. I can't say yes on your behalf to Christ coming into your life and making you new. Only you can do that. And so I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And some of you might have prayed this prayer already. But I want to encourage you to take the thing in your heart right now that is sort of standing between you and God and ask him to help you to let it go. So this morning you can look at his Father's heart and knows that he welcomes you home. So if you and all of us standing in the pews, if you can just pray this prayer this morning as well as a sign of the solidarity with these people and just surrender of all our hearts and let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning and we acknowledge our need of you. We say to you that we need you in our lives. We need you to save us from ourselves. We need you to save us from our sin. We cannot save ourselves. I cannot save myself. I need you, Jesus, to wash me clean. I need you, Jesus, to make all things new. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for giving your life so I don't have to die. Thank you for being separated from your Father's heart so I can be united with his heart. Father, this morning I'm coming home. Take me as I am. I'm yours. Use me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. In Jesus' name. Amen. While you're standing here, I want you with boldness to take the bread. And all of us standing there, take the bread that was assigned to you of Jesus' body being broken for you. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you were broken for me so I can be made whole this morning. Just there we're standing, just do it. Say, thank you, Jesus. You were broken so I can be made whole. And let's eat together and thank him for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. I want you to take the glass and just thank him for his blood shed for you. We sang the song that there's no part of our sin that we have brought to him that we have to carry. He's done it all for us. We have acknowledged that. We can drink this morning to the forgiveness of our sins. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that this morning we can come and we can celebrate what you have done for us through your Son on the cross. Thank you for your blood that washes us, your blood that makes us one. Your blood, God, that gives us hope. And as we drink together, we thank you, Lord, that we can extend the invitation in the Spirit, God, to those who don't have families, to those who don't know the power of the blood of Jesus. That your blood will flow through us, God. Your blood will wash away all the bolted doors and the bolted windows, God, and that you would fling wide those windows, fling wide the doors of our congregations and of our hearts. And those who are dying on the outside, God, those who go through life not knowing that there's a daddy whose heart is bleeding for them. As your love comes, and we want to give you the invitation. I feel some of you just need to give God the invitation to show you his heart. Maybe much of what I said this morning just went over your head, or you registered some emotional response on some level, but you need to ask God, God, because he's not going to force down the door. And you say, God, come and show me your heart. As we drink together. Hallelujah. We're going to spend some time just ministering to these precious people, praying for them. There are some of you also that you need to come and you need to just do business with God. God has put something in your heart concerning his heart. And you need to take ownership of it this morning. Don't allow it to just disappear. Take ownership of it. Bring it to the front this morning. Say, I have this dream. I don't know what to do with it. It seems so small. It seems so big. But I want to bring this to God. And I want to just covenant with God that I will be faithful to what he's given me. Some of you have someone that you know you can go to and be alongside to them. Be a brother and a sister to them. Just love them. Mentor them. Walk with them. Walk into their pain. Walk into their abuse. Walk into all the bitterness. Give them hope. Some of you have felt you want the answers, and God says, I'm not going to give you the answers now until you take this step. Just in obedience and willingness before the Lord. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much for your time and just allowing me to share my heart with you. I would love to pray with you. There's so much more that I could tell you. If you want more information, so much I can send you as well. And so I want to invite you. Invite me over for dinner sometime if you want more info. I would love to share my heart with you. But if you want me to pray with you as well, I would gladly do that. Lord, bless you, Father. We thank you for this church. We thank you we can speak your blessing over it. We thank you, Lord God, that the love of our Father God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Lord, will be with us as we go into this day and into this week. And we thank you that he who started the good work in us will be faithful to finish that work, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.